Good morning, good morning. I say a hearty good morning to some of the folks I know watch on a regular basis. Nancy and Kevin, Teresa, Liz, Olivia, Quentin, and Nick, and Marianne. Let me see, who am I forgetting? I know I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, Myra. And good morning. Good morning. And for anyone else who joined, good morning to you. And say a hello back on the chat line. And let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, so much for this time. We get to look in your word, Lord. And thank you so much for all that you do. I want to give you all the praise and thanks. And help me, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me and help me to this lesson, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Of course, good morning, Holy Spirit. And they say that when more than two or three are gathered, that he is with us. And I hold to that promise that the Holy Spirit does help me along my way on a daily basis. Couldn't do it without him. So today, Jesus heals a man with a demon, better known as the, I always have trouble saying the word, but it's, we'll see it here in a verse in a second. It's over in Luke, demonic of Gardenia. I still can't say it right. So let me get some verses over here. I'll let the Bible speak for itself. So we left off. Jesus had gotten in a boat. He'd finished speaking to a group of people. And he had felt he wanted to go for a little boat ride. So they ended up crossing the through Galilee. I found this really cool map. And let me bring it over here real quick. Let me see. How do I want to do this? I want to be able to point to it. So let me get my big pointer out. Okay. Got my big pointer, and now I need my correct display to use the pointer. Okay, I'll bring this over for a second, and I'll stick me up in a corner. So, cool map, huh? It's got kind of relief on it, so maybe we'll just take a quick little tour around here. Some of the places we've already seen. We've talked a lot about Capernaum, that's over here, and that's where Jesus' headquarters is during most of his ministry. Some believe that he actually lived with Peter quite a bit of that time. That's where Peter was from. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and Philip, Nathaniel. There's probably a few others I'm missing from between Bethesda and Capernaum. And, you know, we've talked about Mary Magdala. Magdala, that's where Mary's from. And that Jesus spends a lot of time up in this area. As you can see, some of these little signs around it. Yeah, Philip was from Bethesda, and Andrew and Peter, they came from there also. Still got that lingering cough. Sorry about that. But today we're going to be, they left Capernaum, that's where we left off, and they're going to be traveling across the sea. That's where they had a storm at sea. Remember that he calmed the waves, that was our last lesson. And then they're coming over to Gergesa, and that's over here. And you know, it's in kind of a hilly country there. This whole area was called Gadara, and so some people might try to say it's down here. But you'll see in our story that there's a group of pigs that go off a cliff into the water. I think that would be hard to do in this area over here. So I think this is a better spot in the hills over here where there could be cliffs. And so I'll give you an idea. This lake is really not that big. I forget the dimensions, but I think it's something like only 9 miles across and like 20 or 30 miles long. It's not super big for a lake. But it can have some really horrendous storms when it, I guess some winds come down through this area through here that can really cause a lot of turmoil in the lake. But as I talked about before, these are seasoned fishermen, so they knew a lot about these waters, and that storm scared them. So that's where we left off last. So let's get the verses back over here and start taking a look at this. Okay, so, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And I mentioned too that it's here in Luke, and if you were in, were listening at church this yesterday morning, Brother Matt was talking about the same story briefly. I was thinking to myself that, boy, ain't this ironic, because I had already had written my notes. And so when I was listening to Brother Matt, I was thinking to myself, yep, I know that verse. I know that verse. But he was speaking out of Mark, and I'm speaking out of Luke. But I use Mark as a reference point. And so it's also in Matthew 8, 28 through 34. And it's in Mark 5, 1 through 20. I'm just going to touch a couple of verses in Mark, mainly verse 8 and 13. Yeah, some information that adds to the story that Luke didn't record. Okay, 8:27. And when he went forth to the land, they met him out of the city, a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house built in the tombs. So talking a little bit about tombs, interesting thing about tombs is that actually that was some place that most Jews really avoided, and for a couple of different reasons. But over in Proverbs 21:16, it mentions that the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So kind of symbolic of this gentleman here, who is, as we'll find out, had about 2,000 demons inside of him. And then there's a rule the Jews had to follow when it come to being anywhere near a dead body. That's over in Numbers 19:16. And whosoever touches one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. So that means that they couldn't worship in the temple for 7 whole days if they came in contact with a dead body or a grave. So it was someplace the Jews usually avoided. Verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Take note of that. This demon immediately knew who Jesus was. "Most high, I beseech thee, torment me not." So here he is, and the general feeling here is that the demons knew that they had a short period of time, but that that time was not up yet, that they still had time to have control of the earth. But this particular one, this is one place I'm going to bring in Mark. In Mark 5:6, it kind of mentions that, now this is talking about the demon-possessed man, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. So kind of interesting. Now, makes me wonder, was it the man who was worshiping him or the demon? Or the demon was showing respect to Jesus, knowing his power. And as we're going to see here shortly, that they did not like giving up possession of a body. I guess these demons, and it's interesting, I'm going to mention it, that there's a teaching I remember hearing from someone. I don't know how true it is or not. It said that the difference between fallen angels and demons was that demons were actually, could be. I realize, remember, we go back to Genesis 6, that there was a flood. And we knew that during that flood, lots of people died. But we also know that angels don't die. Even the fallen ones don't die. So that, you know, that whole theory is but that, you know, angels came down and impregnated human women. Well, these offspring became, it's better known as the Nephilim, became part human, part angel, basically. And maybe they weren't able to actually, when they died, their soul didn't go anywhere. It didn't go to hell or didn't go to heaven, but it actually became a free spirit. And that could be where demons come from, because demons seem to always try to find a body to live in. Well, we know angels don't have to do that. They have a body, a type of body. We see angels all through the Bible that have bodies. So it's kind of interesting to study maybe sometime to try to figure out where exactly demons fit into this picture. So I'm not ruling it out, but it's something I heard I thought I would mention. So speaking of these demons, some other things about demons over in James 2:19. Thou believest that thou is one God, thou doest well. The devils alone believe and tremble. That's true. You notice this demon knew immediately who Jesus was. So, and this goes back to something I always say when people want to use that term, well, I believe there's a God. Well, it's a little bit more than that. You know, even Satan knows there's a God, and the devils know there's a God. But it's about obeying God and following God. That's what separates us as the true believers of the church. Some other things over in Philippians, Paul talking about it. In Philippians 2:10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So again, we saw that this demon actually bowed down to Jesus, showing respect, and that even they know exactly who they are, even though they're not going to be going nowhere near heaven. So some interesting things to think about. I'm talking about the Most High God, going all the way back to Genesis, some interesting things to add in Genesis 14, 18, and 19. Now, Melchizedek was a priest, and you'll hear that term of the order of Melchizedek. That's something that Jesus is a order of. The interesting thing about Melchizedek that no other Levi ever was Melchizedek was a king. You see right there, Melchizedek, king of Salem. And also was a high priest. Well, you see there, and I'll just read it. The king of Salem brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Most other priests were not allowed to be kings, and vice versa. You know, it's like David was a king, but he was not a priest. And all the high priests of that era, after the Egyptian captivity, when the 12 tribes of Israel came forth, that you could not be a king, could not be a priest. And so this is where we get the term that Jesus is by the order of Melchizedek, which means he can be a king and our high priest. And by extension, we're going to have that same power through him, through Jesus Christ. Verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So I just wanted to point out, talking about some nice verses about the Most High God. And that little thing about Melchizedek. I like to fit that in once in a while. Okay, Luke 8:29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So this is talking about this demon again. That he was, And this goes to show a little bit about the ability of some of these demons. They have superhuman strength. These ain't people to mess with. You know, if you ever encounter somebody who's you have to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do except to call on Jesus to help save that person. That we don't have anywhere near the kind of power that these demons do. As you can see here, with inside this man, he was able to break chains and fetters. Fetters is another kind of system of being able to restrain somebody. We see over in Mark 5:8 again when he said he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, Luke just makes reference to it, but in 5:8 we actually hear Jesus' words. This is Jesus speaking. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So I just want to point to that. That's the other one of the other verses that Mark adds a little bit more information to. Okay, back to Luke 8:30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And here's another place that Luke doesn't mention what legion really means. But if you, the term actually is a numerical number. And again, over in Mark, mentions this in Mark 5:13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. We're going to get to that in a second. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. That's what I mentioned before. And they were about 2,000. That's the reason I brought this verse in. And were choked in the sea. So about 2,000 demons inside of this man. That's a lot of demons. Back to Luke 8:31. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now back to the demons are, again, like I mentioned, they want to be embodied. And there's a good reason why they'd want to be in a body. Is it because they don't want to go to the alternative? And that's actually mentioned in some other verses I'm going to bring up here in a minute. But there's a this term here, into the deep, in the Hebrew, that's the abyss. And the abyss is mentioned other places in the Bible. And this is a prison in which many of the fallen spirits are detained, and to which some who may, like these, have been permitted for a while to range at large, are sometimes by divine justice and power remanded. So for some reason, they're allowed to be free at this point in time, but they can be retaken and they have to face their fate in this place called the Abyss. And a couple of verses that talk about this over in Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is the area of the abyss. It was not prepared for man. Also in Revelation 9:2, and this is the famous pit, the abyss we're talking about. And they opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. This bottomless pit is also referenced to this same area. Also in Revelation 20, verse 3, this is talking about when Satan gets cast into this place and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. This is during the 1,000 years when Satan is bound, till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. So again, speaking of this bottomless pit, the abyss. So I already mentioned about the fact that these demons could be disembodied like spirits. I know that I would say that in most cases, ghosts are not is not a term. I think that these demons can only exist within somebody. They have to be embodied in something. So you can see here that they were actually sent from this man into the swine, as we're going to get to here in a second. Back to Luke 8:32. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. So a couple of interesting things here is that, one, the demons knew they had to ask permission to go into the swine. So that's kind of interesting. And that they had to ask God, and this proves another proof that God, that Jesus is God, because the person they had to ask is somebody of a higher authority than them, which that if they were fallen angels or of fallen angels, then they needed permission from God in order to do anything. And so I think that's a comfort for us too, that we can't be possessed. There's a saying that if the Holy Spirit is in you, then no other demon can be in you. There's no way that Satan can get control of you. He can still hint at you. He can still talk to you. His demons can still talk to you, but they can't physically indwell you as long as you have the Holy Spirit in you. So it's another good reason to get salvation is to avoid any issues like this. But either way, we see here the demons have asked permission to go into the swine, and Jesus gave his permission. Luke 8:33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. Now the swine, I guess, went crazy when this happened, and they ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. And so I find that rather interesting that now at this point, these demons have to find other bodies to go into, or they have to go into the abyss. So it didn't buy them anything to go into the swine, because the swine ended up dying. Don't know where they went after that, doesn't say, but maybe into the fish. Okay, Luke 8:34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. So the keepers of the swine now, they just lost their whole livelihood. And so they went into the city. And of course, the city keepers, we're going to see a big division here. And this is the thing that... I think that one of the main lessons of this is that what do you care more about, the fact that this man was healed and is well again, or the fact that you lost all the swine, and which equate to loss of money? So where's your heart at? Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in the right mind. And they were afraid. When I saw this verse, I couldn't help but think about some other times we see people that sat at Jesus' feet and wanted to learn. And me included, I want to be there too. I would love to sit at Jesus' feet and learn directly from him, see him in person and hear him audibly. Some people wonder probably how do we have a relationship with somebody we can't hear directly? Well, It's through the Word of God, and I think that's an important aspect to remember. And also through the Holy Spirit, which gives you those little hints of where to look in the Holy Bible for things. So sitting at Jesus' feet, a couple of verses on that over in Mark 7:25. Hey, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. That was worshipped him. And John 11:32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. This is the famous case of Lazarus and Jesus raising him from the dead. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the main testimony going on here, too, is that through Jesus Christ, through worshiping him, we do have rest, and we can rely on that. But also that that this man now was open to the word and wanted to learn about Jesus and learn about the Gospels. And so he was at his feet. And some other examples of that is in Luke 2:46. After it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. That was young 12-year-old Jesus sitting at the feet in the temple with the doctors, hearing them. And here he was both learning and teaching at the same time. Luke 10:39 through 42. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come help. But Martha was more worried about getting dinner ready, and Mary was concerned about having this opportunity to learn from the Lord. Continuing in this verse in chapter 10, verse 41, we'll see it again. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which she shall not be taken away from her. So here she had decided that she wanted to learn. Maybe she had some questions she wanted answered. So she took time out to learn from Jesus. And I think that's another lesson, that we need to make time to learn from the Lord, and that we can find that time. Back to Luke 8:36. Winding down here. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thy own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I think that's another thing to keep in mind, is that our testimonies are a huge deal. And just going back to that verse for a second. The man whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, this is the verse I meant, return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto us. And I think that's our role too, is that it's important that we have a good testimony, because people are watching, and that they're watching and they're seeing the love of the Lord in us. That we follow him, and are we dedicated to his life, that we should always take those opportunities when people ask, why is it we seem different? Why is it we seem happy? We're going to have our bad days too, but that overall, we got a hope that most people are looking for. We're going to live forever, a little pause during death, but that... And I thought I'd end this lesson with a proverb. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of the doors. So basically, this man is going to go back to his city. And we saw in verse 40 there that that when Jesus returned after a while, that all the people would gladly receive him, for they were all waiting for him. So I think that's an important aspect to realize that once the word gets around and once people realize who Jesus is, that he's more than welcome, and that our testimony can help others to see that. So that's today's lesson, and I'll end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time we get to look at your word, and thank you so much for this day and for the all the lessons you're showing us. May we help us to help to share our testimony and share our love for you, Lord, and how they too can to get to know you and get a relationship with you. And we give you these opportunities to reach others today, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to... That's all for today. And I hope everybody has a great day. And talk to you again tomorrow.